Open up to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. We'll read one verse and then I'll share something special. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is in the wilderness, fasting 40 days, and the devil comes along to tempt him. And he says, and the devil says to Jesus in verse 3, when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know, we've looked at that passage before, and as I shared with you in the past, years ago, like when I was a kid growing up in Sunday school and all these kind of things, well, I read that verse, and I somehow interpreted it to mean that Jesus was saying, man shall not live by bread alone, but by bread and every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. And I missed the fact that what Jesus was saying is, man shall not live by the things of the natural, but man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not other things and the word. Man shall live by the word. And that alone is really kind of an indictment for a lot of Christians, maybe most Christians, because we have a tendency to want to live by the natural things and to want to cause things to happen, I guess is a good way to put it. Anybody ever tried to help God before? Like he needs help, but we kind of have that tendency, don't we? If we don't see it happening right away, then it's like, well, how can I help God to make this thing happen? And I tell you what, it's amazing how many times that I've encountered Christians who say things to me like, oh, but God said. Oh, but this is God. Oh, but God told me. And you know, when you flop and you fall apart and you fail and nothing works out, it wasn't God. And we can oftentimes justify what we do by telling people, well, God told me. Well, if God told you, then it will work out according to His plan. And bottom line is, a lot of folks just don't want to be patient, let God be God. Anyway, I was praying, and I was praying about tonight. I said, God, what do I tell them? You know, what do I share? What do I speak? You know, what do you want me to say? And boy, I tell you what, I hardly got the words out of my mouth. God, what do I tell them? And man, he cut loose. I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, so I'm just going to tell you what he said. I asked him, God, what do I tell them? Here's what he said. Tell them that my word is not governed by world economics. Tell them that my word is not governed by their health. Tell them that my word is not governed by their circumstances. Tell them that my word is governed by them. That's heavy enough, is it not? He said, tell them that I'm not as free to move as what many think. Search the scriptures. In them, you will find that everything is affected by my word. You will see that my word is the method by which I am able to move in their lives. Now, let me just interject this. I use a computer software program, and I punched in phrases like, thy word, he spoke, God spake, at thy word, at his word, etc., and so forth. And if you take every verse in the Bible that has any one of those statements or similar statements in it relative to the word of God, not man's word, but God's word, you're going to end up literally with maybe at least 2,000 verses. Because one of the statements like thy word, it popped up like 400 or 500 something different occurrences in Scripture. And another one pulled up like 300 something. Another one was like 400 something. Another one 200 something. By the time you add all these up, you have maybe 2,000 verses. Maybe more. Maybe just a little bit less. But that many verses in Scripture directly related to God's Word, saying something about God's Word, at His Word, by His Word, whatever. That's a lot. And do you think God's trying to get something across to us, having that much in His Word about His Word? And He said here, search the Scriptures. In them you'll find that everything is affected by My Word. Well, let me continue with what He was saying. Many have asked Me to move, but have not given Me My Word wherein I can move. Many have questioned My faithfulness because they have not seen Me move. But it is actually a lack of their faith that has hindered Me. I move according to My Word, not according to their desires. Far too many have died before their time. They have allowed themselves to believe a lie instead of the truth. Too often, they have attributed their sickness and affliction to a work of mine because they did not see a healing manifest in their body. In most cases, they were simply asking and not giving Me My Word. Then, when they speak that which is not My Word, they hinder Me even further. You see, much of what is spoken is death, words of death. But My words are life. If you do not speak My words, you are not speaking My life. If you do not speak My life, I cannot work in your midst. I will only work with life because I am life. I cannot work with anything else. Had Moses not spoken My word, Israel would not have been delivered. Now stop there. When he said that, gosh, how do I communicate this effectively? Okay, how do these kind of words come to me? I sit, I ask questions, and when he starts speaking, I just keep praying in tongues. And as I'm praying in tongues and he's speaking, I type it out on the computer. When I hear something on the inside, and I'm not talking he speaks like this big, you know, like on the Ten Commandments, that movie. Moses, Moses. It's not like that.
Jim, Jim.
And I jerk my shoes off. It's not like that. It's on the inside. And when this is happening, if I hear something that at first maybe sounds a little different to me, I stop and I start asking questions. And somebody might ask, well, wouldn't that interrupt the flow? Well, the best way to answer that is in that kind of a situation when that's happening, no. Because I know when I stop asking questions about something that was said, then he takes me right back where he left off and keeps speaking. So I ask about this. Had Moses not spoken My word, Israel would not have been delivered. And I'm asking, you know, is this right? I mean, would it really have been like that? And he said, yeah, think about what happened. I told Moses to go, and you know the story, Moses and Aaron, they went. Between the two of them, they spoke what God said to speak. In fact, in the Bible, it talks about, you know, the plagues and all that stuff that happened. But remember, Moses spoke it, and then it happened. So God spoke, Moses spoke, or God spoke, Aaron spoke, and then it happened. And when he said that if Moses had not spoken My word, Israel would not have been delivered, in my mind, I'm kind of thinking, well, maybe they would have. I mean, you know, maybe. But if you look at the story, and what I'm communicating with you took place in a flash on the inside of me. This whole conversation, the examples he's giving me. And if you go back and you read that story about Moses and Israel, you will see that it was dependent upon what Moses spoke, but God told him what to speak. See what I'm saying? So he said, had Moses not spoken My word, Israel would not have been delivered. Had Joshua not spoken, the sun would not have stood still. Now, I'm going to admit to you right now, the moment that he said that, this is almost embarrassing to admit, I had forgotten Joshua was the one that did that. And I actually sat back and thought, now wait a minute. I don't think Joshua was the one that, I was thinking like Jehoshaphat, I was thinking somebody else, okay? I was thinking, I don't think Joshua was the one that did that. So you know what I did? I actually typed it in the software, the computer software, Joshua, son, boom, enter. And sure enough, Joshua was the one. I thought, well, I guess God does know what he's talking about. I had honestly forgotten that. And I actually stopped to check it out. I guess God got a laugh out of that one. Anyway. He said, okay, well, you remember the story, how Joshua, it's in Joshua chapter 10. You can go back and read it later on. Joshua spoke, and the sun stood still, and the moon stood still. Now, please, 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 don't science this thing out, because in the natural, an event like that is impossible. The sun... What actually happened, it wasn't the sun. The sun doesn't rotate around the earth. The earth rotates around the sun. So scientifically, it was the earth that stopped. You see what I'm saying? But if you science this thing out, then you're going to destroy all life on planet earth because nothing can afford to stop. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are dependent upon this motion here. So I cannot give you the scientific explanation. I just know that in God's Word it happened. It's in Joshua chapter 10. But God says, had Joshua not spoken, the sun would not have stood still. And he went on to say, had my prophets not spoken, my word would not have come to pass. And he says, you have been taught that throughout history I have moved. While this is true, you should have also been taught that my servants spoke and I moved. All throughout history, I have moved in accordance with my word. I have never moved outside my word. The day is coming when you will again see signs and wonders take place in accordance with my word. Now let me just stop right here. The moment that he said that, on the inside of me, I won't, kind of like a vision of all those things that happened in the Old Testament, you know, where they spoke, you know, in fire and all this kind of stuff and earthquakes and all that. That's what he was making reference to as an example. I will tell my servants what to say. They will say it. I will move. And wonders and mighty signs will take place. Leaders of nations will be impacted by these things. Yet there will be those who will harden their hearts like Pharaoh. Hard times are coming for many people, but my word will see you through. Do not listen to every voice. Listen to me. Many come speaking in my name, but I have not sent them. They truly believe they are serving me, and so my mercy is extended. But their words are not of me. If you stay in my word and in the Spirit, you will know the difference. You will be able to discern who is of me and who is not. There are those of you this night who will see a healing manifest in your body if you will not stop speaking my word. There are those of you this night who will know my direction and know my will if you will not stop speaking my word. Now listen to this next part. This is dynamite. Cast aside the dead wood, for it will not ignite with my glory. Now stop right there. The moment that he said that, I paused. Because how many of you know if you want to start a fire, one of the best things to use is dead wood? Right? Dead, dried out, nothing wood. And boy, I'll tell you what, you get yourself a campfire going like that if you have that kind of wood. But now listen to what he said. So immediately, as soon as I hear this, I'm thinking, maybe I'm not hearing right. Maybe this isn't it. I'll keep going, see what else comes out, and then we'll figure it out here. Cast aside the dead wood, for it will not ignite with my glory. You see, the burning bush is a type and shadow for you today. How many of you remember the story of Moses, the burning bush, okay? You see, the burning bush is a type and shadow for you today. That bush was alive and had sap flowing through it. It burned, but it was not consumed. Out of that bush came my word. If you stay in my presence, the sap of my life will flow through you. When my fire is flowing through you, you will eventually ignite with my glory. Or when my life is flowing through you, you will eventually ignite with my glory and burn with my holy fire. My life flowing through a person will produce my word out of that person. But there are many who have received me, but do not have my life flowing through them. They are mine, but there is no flow. Where there is no flow of my life, there can be no igniting of my glory and no burning of my holiness. These people are dead wood in your midst. You cannot kindle them. And if you focus on them, you will only harm yourself. They are beyond your help, but they are not beyond mine. If they will call out to me with a true heart, I will respond and they will change. Speak my word and give me an opportunity to work in and through you. The more word you give me, the more I can work. I can change things around you, but you must give me my word. My word is life. Speak life and things change. Praise God. Pretty powerful stuff. Now, the whole time that he's speaking this to me, it's like a lot of things were going on, things that I shared with you, but also how that in reality, the body of Christ, generally speaking, is waiting on God while God is waiting on us. And for example, so many songs talk about send revival, send revival, send revival. When in reality, we're the containers of revival, and revival pours through us. If God could just send revival any old time He wanted to, we would have been born into this world with revival raging. We have, how can I say this? Generally, the body of Christ. We have attributed to God a type of sovereignty that He does not have. Because when we expect Him to do something without the reciprocal action on our part, there will be no move of God. Again, the example I like to use so much in this is being born again. Nobody gets born again until they act. God then responds. When it comes to what we want changed in our lives, think about how that we've been trained so much by our religion. We've been told, essentially, just ask and see if it happens. And if it doesn't, then it must not be God's will. If it does, then it must be God's will. I read something here not too long, well, this week, about a young man who was ministering with another man, and the other man was maybe 10, 20 years older. Well, they ministered together, not for a very long time, and then the older man was diagnosed with a type of cancer. Very bad, very bad, very serious. And it began devastating his body at a very rapid pace. Well, the young man shared the testimony how that they prayed, well, and prayed, but this older man, now when I say older, I'm talking this guy was only in like maybe his 30s, mid-late 30s, something like that. It wasn't very old at all. They prayed and they prayed, nothing happened. And the younger man shared how that they came to the conclusion that God's plan for the older man's life went beyond the scope of their understanding. In other words, they accepted, now again, from their perspective, they accepted that this man dying in his mid-30s with cancer was God's will. Okay? Now, that goes right along with what God was sharing about how many people have died before their time. They weren't supposed to die with all these things, but yet when we continue to attribute stuff like this to the will of God, all we're saying is we really do not understand what His Word says to begin with. And when we go through the Scriptures, and like I said, you know, you do a word search on your computer and you find passage, verse after verse after verse after verse about His Word. And when you see this in Scripture so much, and we see what Jesus even said, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, we should understand that religion has really given us a bill of goods. Religion has not given to us that which works. Now, I'm telling you, there are a lot of Christians, they have a hard time with a message like this. Because we want to believe that God is this great being in the sky who loves us, but sometimes kills us for who knows what reason. Because when you ask people why somebody died from cancer, you know what the response is? Well, we don't know, right? But God's will be done. So they don't know. Well, why did He do it? I don't know. Was there sin in that person's life? Well, I don't know. I hung around him for years and I don't know of anything. Maybe there was something secret. Maybe not. We don't know these things. However, when we get to the other side, then all will be known. Yeah, all will be known how a bunch of people died before they were supposed to. They shouldn't have died like that. It was not God's will. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, there are so many verses about God sending His Word and healing and delivering. God sending His Word and quickening. God sending His Word, God speaking. God telling somebody to go speak and somebody went and they spoke and something was healed and something... I mean, over and over and over again, it's exemplified for us in Scripture. But then we come up with this idea that God has changed the way He operates in the last 2,000 years. And that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. There are a lot, I mean, while He is giving all this to me, I'm seeing how that Christians, there are a lot of Christians who are going through physical, financial, family, I mean just on and on hardships, and it's nobody's fault but their own. Now that's a heavy indictment. But when we see what God has said, and we know that He works through His Word, and He doesn't work through anything else, then how can we say that God isn't moving? Could it be? Remember when Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock? Okay. You know you have to open the door. Using that as an analogy, is it possible that God is standing right in front of us, waiting for us to take His Word and hammer our situation? You know, along with this, He was showing me how that, I'm teaching about blood covenant in the Bible college right now. And one of the things that the blood covenant establishes is that when you've entered into that blood covenant, you never fight your battles alone anymore. And remember, maybe you're not in the college, but think back to when I taught about this, how that one of the things that was done was the exchange of the belt, the weapon belt, where the sword hung on that, and they would exchange each other's belt and weapons and so forth. What that represented was, from this day forward, you don't fight your battles alone, I will fight with you. Well, remember there's a verse in the Bible where God has said, the battle is not yours. Is mine, says the Lord, okay? Well, now here's how what the Lord showed me yesterday about all this. How that Christians have this idea that the battle's not mine, it's the Lord's. Okay, Lord, have at it. And then they sit down and they wait for God to do something. But now what does it say in the New Testament? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the tearing down of strongholds. And we war not against flesh and blood, but spiritual powers, simply put. And then in that same passage there in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about how that the sword of the Lord is the Word. Okay? So, look how in fact, one of the things the Lord shared with me, He said, consider my son Jesus. What did He do? He spoke. He spoke over and over again. He spoke. It is written. He spoke. He spoke. He spoke the Word of God. He spoke the will of God. He spoke, and things happened. God said, this is one of the reasons why when He was on trial, He didn't say much. Remember, they kept asking Him, why don't you say anything? The reason He didn't, because if He had, things would have happened. He could have, don't you remember, He said, don't you know I can call the legions of angels to help out? Jesus understood the power of what He said in line with the will of God, the Word of God. See? Now, getting back to this thing about the warfare, it's like the Lord said, they don't get it. My Word is my sword. The sword is the weapon. When I said that the battle is not yours but mine, what I was saying is, I'll give to you my sword. I will give to you my weapon. Think about how God did anything throughout the Bible. He spoke. Okay? I mean, go back to Genesis. He spoke. He said, I will give to you, or I have given to you, my sword, my Word, the weapon. You don't fight the enemy or your circumstances with your sword. You fight it with mine. Because my Word is greater and more powerful than any of those circumstances that you face. So if you fight with anything other than my sword, you're fighting on your own. And you're not going to see things happen. But the moment you take up my weapon, my Word, my sword, the moment you take that up and you begin to use it, that's when I get in the battle with you. But if you don't use what I've given you, you're not giving me a method by which I can begin to fight on your behalf, a method by which I can begin to help you. You've got to give me something to work with. And so what do? We come along and we say things like, well, I don't know how, I don't know why, I can't figure it out, I don't understand, why isn't God, how come He hasn't? That's what He was saying earlier. Those are words of death. Those are not words of life. Truth of the matter is, we don't understand the whys about everything. And we don't understand the hows about everything. But when you stand around and talk about it, see, the thing is, you tell me that you don't understand, I already know you don't understand. And you already know that I don't understand. We all know nobody understands. Very simple. So instead of sitting around and fussing about what we don't understand that we already knew that we didn't understand to begin with, deal with it from God's perspective. Use His Word. Use His Word. Well, I tried that and it didn't work. It works. The bottom line is, it works. Remember what He said here at the beginning of this thing, how that His Word is not governed by our circumstances. His Word is governed by us. We can interfere with His Word not being effective. How do we do that? Well, one way, by not using it. But one way, by saying it doesn't work. One way, by not believing it. Okay, let me ask you a question. Anybody here ever cut any trees down? Or bushes, or shrubs, or whatever? Okay. Now, just think with me. You know, if you had a tree about this size, how long would it take you to cut it down? If this right here, that just right down there, that right there, was the root, the part right there at the base, right there at the ground where it was coming up, and you had a really good, sharp axe, about how many whacks do you think it would take to take that thing out? 10, 15 maybe, something. I mean, just, you know, whap, whap, maybe three, maybe if you're, you know, like a Rambo, one big whack, and down it goes. It's not going to take a whole long time. You might not even break out in a sweat unless it's a really hot day. Okay, but what if we're talking about, you know, an oak tree that has like a 20-foot circumference trunk. Now, how long is that going to take you to cut it down? you won't cut it down. You know why? You quit. And you'll hire somebody to come in and do it for you. You understand what I'm saying, right? It would take you a long, long, long time. And you'd have to keep going back and sharpening that axe to go back out and hack some more. It'd take a long time. Okay, now, you may have a circumstance in your life that has a 20-foot circumference trunk because you haven't done anything about it for years. And you're expecting 3 or 4 whacks to cut it down. Well, you may have to take your spiritual axe and hit and whack and hack and cut and chop and over and over and over and over and over. Because God's Word is more powerful than those things we face. But if we don't believe that, then we're just not going to act. Now, keep in mind, you cannot use God's Word to change the will of another human being. But you can use God's Word to change circumstances. You can use God's Word to change things in your own life. You just can't change another person's will. But sometimes changing the circumstances causes them to see things differently, and they change their will. Here's what I'm getting at. This whole thing of confessing the Word of God, we have a precedent in Scripture that it works. And the Bible says that God can't lie. Therefore, the precedent is before us. He can't lie. So if we don't follow the precedent, why should we expect God results? Very simple. Somebody might say, well, yeah, Brother Martin, you say it's simple, but it's not. No, it really is. The hard part is the diligence. That's it. Because actually speaking it is not hard at all. I mean, even if you have a sore throat, you can just whisper it right out. It's not hard to speak it. The hard part is the diligence. It's so easy. You can just sit down in a chair and speak God's Word. You can have a confession book, a sheet of confessions, whatever. And you can sit on the couch, kick back in your lazy boy, turn it on to vibrate. And the Word of the Lord said... It's easy, but the diligence isn't. The speaking is. And see, this is I deal with this too. I'm not like, you know, I'm in the same boat. The diligence to keep speaking God's Word because it does change things. God's Word will not work outside of His will. So you can't change things. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Okay. You can't go around confessing. How can I say this? Okay, God's not going to steal from somebody else just to bless your life with something. In other words, if somebody doesn't want to sell their car, God's not going to cause them to drop dead just so you can buy it for pennies on the dollar. You follow what I'm saying? I know people... God is not going to cause husband and wife to get divorced just so you can marry that man. And people believe that, though. I've heard people make these kind of confessions. Stupid stuff. God's Word doesn't work outside of His will. His will is in His Word. His Word is His will. If you get in the book, you find out what He does, what He doesn't do, and how He does it. Then you begin to apply His Word in accordance with what He said, and you're going to begin to see the results. It has to happen. Not just because I said it. Forget that I said it. What does God say? God says it works. Therefore, it has to happen. When we come together during these times of confessions, We're going to be having the 24/7 of prayer. One of the things you do when you come in for times like that is speak the Word of God. You pray His Word. That's part of what prayer is all about. We've talked about this in the past. You speak His Word. You speak it and you see things happen. I'm convinced that if just us, just this church, you know, if we can get this through our heads, our skulls, get it down into our hearts, and we begin to apply this, a lot of things are going to change. A lot. Not just ministry-wise, but I'm talking in us, our lives. A lot of things are going to change. But we have to be diligent about it. We have to do this. Just like Jesus said, the sower sows the word. We've talked about that in the past too. We have to do this. And I really, really like this part at the very beginning of what God said. Tell them that my word is not governed by world economics. Praise God. Tell them that my word is not governed by their health. Tell them that my word is not governed by their circumstances. Tell them that my word is governed by them. We have His word. We can alter our own economics, our own health, and our own circumstances if we apply the word. This isn't sticking your head in the sand and ignoring situations. This is taking your head out of the sand, facing the situations, and applying God's word to those things you see. And change happens. I would say that if we went across this room, I don't know about everybody, but some of us would be able to stand up and testify how that we spoke over a certain thing and it changed. It changed and lined up with God's word. That alone should be encouragement to us. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Let's govern God's word to our circumstances, whatever they would be, and let's see His will manifest. Praise the Lord.